This is On the T-Box on THP Radio, your number one source for golf equipment news. Here's your host, the Dean of THP.
And there it is. Welcome everyone to THP Radio for another exciting episode of On the T-Box. I'm your host, Dean, and back in the co-host chair, as always, is my fellow staff writer, James. You know, James and I could both be reached on the THP forum to talk golf, as well as on Twitter under the handle at Dean of THP for myself and at JMan underscore THP for James. James, how are we doing, bud? You ready to get another show on the road?
I'm good. I think we've made the people wait long enough. It's time to get back in the seat and do this again.
You know, it's certainly been much, much too long for our liking. So just in case there are some first timers tuning in today, let's give our listeners an idea what the show is all about. On the T-Box is a golf podcast that's going to be based on equipment, apparel, and accessories, really anything else that might come across our desks. Today, we have a few topics to discuss, which include recent trips out to Chicago and Southern California, where the weather is much nicer than it is here in upstate New York. We're going to have a conversation about how we choose golf balls. There's a lot of new options on the market, so we're going to dive into that a little bit. And we're going to get into a controversial subject. We're going to talk about non-conforming golf equipment and would you play it? That seems to be a hot button issue on the THP forum right now. So we thought, you know, we'll talk it out on the radio so you can maybe listen and get involved with the conversation with us. So with that said, it looks like the starter is waving us up and we are now on the tee box. Like I alluded to in recent weeks, we've been pretty busy. It's part of the reason we haven't been on as much as we want to be. We just took a couple trips out to several companies, you know, to rattle off a few names. We're talking your Cobra, Callaway, TaylorMade, Titleist, Wilson Staff, Tour Edge, Cleveland, Srixon. Yeah, I know, it sounds exhausting. We also visited some shaft companies like Nippon, Fujikura, Matrix, and Project X. We have a lot of footage that's going to be up on THP TV and the THP forum from those visits. James, this was your first time on a real, you know, official business visit up to visit some companies. I'm curious to some of your thoughts about what you see from companies in their own environment as opposed to what we see from them on the floor of the PGA Merchandise Show.
Yeah, it was. I mean, this was my first time up that way, which I mean, I think it still blows a lot of people's minds that there are some major golf companies in Chicago, right? I mean, we're talking the Midwest and it's not typically the weather area that you would expect. It was a wonderful, wonderful 40 some degrees whenever I was there. But the business goes on. And you're right. With the PGA show, everybody has to put on their show. I mean, literally their show, because they're trying to put everything out there and show everything what's coming. But in their own environment, you get to see the day to day. You get to see the grind that they go on. And you get to kind of see the fruits of the labor. And with that, in Chicago, it's kind of cool because it's a way different atmosphere, in my opinion, than what you get out like whenever you went to California.
Yeah, because, you know, in Chicago, you get pizza and I get burgers when I'm in California. But I get the feeling that's not exactly what you were talking about.
I did have deep dish and it was quite delicious.
That's why those companies are in Chicago.
Exactly.
You know, I always call it like the rebound effect. You know, this is one of the trips I've gone out on a few times now, you know, usually in March, and it's, you know, 5-6 weeks after the PGA show. So you see companies really, you know, they've already laid out their marketing plans for the year, and most of them have already laid out their product launches that are going to be throughout the year and start working on stuff for, you know, the following year or the fall. And it's so interesting because you get companies that had a good show and they come back and they're so upbeat about the conversations they had, the deals they may have made, or the general buzz there is around their product. And I'll tell you what, there's quite a few of them that I visited with, and I'm sure you're the same, that were really, really upbeat about what's going to happen for them in 2017.
Yeah, for so much talk about the industry's hurting and everything else, there are a lot of people making the right moves and understanding what direction the industry is going in as a whole and where they need to fit in it. And it's rather interesting. I mean, up in Chicago, Tour Edge is the perfect example of it. But not a lot of people think of them making a whole lot of noise, but they're hitting some price points no one else is, and they're doing some things that no one else is. And it's cool because they picked up a lot of momentum from the PGA show, and now they're starting to run with it.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, their fairway wood really has, I want to say, exploded. You know, it's getting a lot of attention. It's getting a lot of buzz, and it's even getting some play on tour. And I feel like maybe I'm inside a bubble here, but I feel like people are really starting to pay attention to the products that Tourage is putting out, even though they, you know, they for a long time they had titanium in their fairway woods. You know, they were one of the first companies to really promote that. And now I feel like with this current launch that people are really starting to pay attention to what they're doing.
Yeah, and I'll go a step further, though. As good as the EX10s are, and I mean, I've got the fairway wood in my bag right now, but their hot launch stuff, that line, they're producing $199 driver. And not only that, they have fitting carts for these drivers that are hitting these price points, and they're adjustable, and they're pretty solid. I hit one. I hit it quite well, actually, on TrackMan. So they're doing the right things, and they're actually, like I said, they're finding where they fit in this market with what we're seeing now and what we're going to see going forward. They're finding their place, and they're digging in. Instead of just trying to do everything, they're finding what they're good at.
Yeah, they, you know, like you say, they're finding what they're good at. You kind of threw me for a loop there. You mentioned the hot launch driver and, you know, that $199 price point. So immediately, you know, you start comparing $199 to some of the prices that you're seeing for, you know, M1 and Epic and, you know, the Titleist 917. You're seeing drivers that are up reaching that $500 limit. And you say, well, golf is, you know, golf's too expensive for people. But yet here's a company who's putting out a quality product that's giving you a driver for under $200. Go out and have fun.
Exactly. And I threw you a curveball there, and I'm so proud of myself because I know how angry that makes you.
You did. You heard my pause.
But no, seriously, I mean, think about it. Five years ago, we had more price points, not necessarily in that range, but kind of. I mean, we had those drivers that were around that point, and people didn't cry that they're not as good as anything else. And the cool thing with the hot launches, and this is why I brought it up and I wanted to interject it in here, because they have fitting bags for them. They have fitting carts that are going to be available. And not only that, I think it's a 48-hour turnaround on your custom order.
Wow.
Think about it. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's really good. Because how often do we at least hear it from our readers and our listeners that, hey, look, I placed this order. I haven't even gotten a shipping confirmation yet. So a 48-hour turnaround, that's definitely impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about being different, right? And I know you saw a lot of that whenever you were out in California.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of companies that are trying to be different. You know, Cobra is one who's, for a while now, they've been putting out multiple colored driver heads. And now they're scaling that back a little bit. It's like they put out the shock factor before. Hey, look, you could have an orange driver. And now people maybe were paying attention to the colors. But now this company has really put a lot of technology into their driver heads. I think people maybe overlook Cobra at times. You know, they had that sliding weight driver that went, you know, it was the Fly Z Plus that went, you know, from back to front. But really, it was the M1 launch that really got the attention of people talking about sliding weight back and forth when the Fly Z Plus had it and was a good club. But I think now people are paying more attention to a company like that.
Oh, absolutely. And it's strange just how quiet it is around them. And well, if you look at the forum, though, the buzz has started to pick up. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cobra's doing some outside the box things. So they're joining up with Arcos to put the distance in the driver so people can track that and use the Cobra app in order to track how far they're hitting the driver. Because let's face it, on weekends and weekdays, whenever most of us go out there, what are we trying to do? We're trying to hit the driver far. So to have the ability to track that, pretty brilliant way to get it into people's hands. But beyond that, the tech is there. Oh, the tech is there. The fairway wood thread right now in the forum is absolutely blowing up. And I know you've started to tinker with one of those too. So, I mean, it's fun to see because, again, people talk about the doom and gloom of the industry, but there's some really neat stuff going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of neat stuff and, you know, a lot of really cool stories out there. And something that, you know, I was lucky to do when I was out in Southern California, we went to Titleist. We went to, you know, the Titleist Performance Institute, TPI. And you and I have been together at, we've gone to ECPC, Callaway's Performance Center. Later that week, I went to the Kingdom at TaylorMade. So having been to now three really good, you know, fitting institutes or fitting centers, it was really interesting to see Titleists be a little bit different from everybody else. So ECPC is pretty big. You know, they have a really huge range. They have a really long putting green, you know, pretty good short game area. Titleists setup, they had like two driving ranges. They had one in the middle They had one all the way to the left, and then in between those, they had short game areas. So they had one that was this green that was it looked like Augusta National greens. It was tilted all over the place. They had deep pot bunkers, and then they had another range set up that was for your full wedge shots, and you were hitting to actual greens, not just, out to fairway. And then if you walked all the way to the end, there was another green that had different kinds of grass all around it. So they had the Bermuda grass, they had the overseed grass, they had the long grass, they had the short grass. So any kind of lie that guys, tour players would face out on the tour, they can mimic it right there. I thought that was just really cool.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty jealous if you want to know the absolute truth of it. But again, that's a company playing to what they're good at, right? Yep. I mean, we're talking Vokies, right? That's Titleist. Titleist and Vokie are synonymous with one another, and those wedges are one of the top selling wedges year in and year out because of how good they are. And it makes sense to have such a good facility like that. I really kind of hate you right now if you want to know the truth.
Well, you know what? You're going to be able to see it, and everybody else is going to be able to see it too, because we shot a video with a tour at basically each stop. Now, there was a little mishap at one of the hotels with some water. Hopefully we have all the footage, and I think we do. So that's a video that I hope people like, and it's good. I'm going to warn you right now, it's a long video. It's probably like 20 minutes long. From each stop, we interviewed people, and we went through a tour of what somebody who was going to go get fit there would go through. And that's going to be something that I know I'm pretty proud of, that piece, and I think people are really going to enjoy it. But I'm not going to talk about just, what we shot in California. I want to talk about one special thing that you shot out in Chicago, and that was when you went to meet the guys from Budget Golf, and you got to get a tour of their warehouse.
Are you talking about whenever Josh tried to get me to pull a hammy because of what's going to go on with Budget Golf? Yeah. No, we got to go see Budget. And everybody knows they've been working with THP now for a while. And it's the first time I've ever been to a non-OEM, if you will, a non-manufacturing mm-hmm. company. It's a retail company. Right. But their warehouse is gigantic. Like, we all kind of knew, oh, they've got a warehouse. That's going to be cool. Some people had been on THP, and you've seen the videos that they shot for us. And you're like, well, that's neat. But I'm telling you, walking in there, you know how I am with clubs. I'm a gearhead. So it's like a kid at a candy store to be able to see all these things on the shelves. But more than that, they're down to earth. Like, they're like you and I. They love golf. They love golf equipment. And they love the involvement that they're seeing with THP because, we do things a little bit different here.
Yeah, we do things a little bit different. And for those that haven't seen it and are wondering exactly what James and I are talking about, what we did was we put a 360-degree camera on a shopping cart and pointed it straight up at the air, essentially. And James mimicked the 60-second sweep. So anybody who remembers Supermarket Sweep, run around and grab the hams and turkeys and cheeses and all the important stuff, expensive stuff, put it in the cart and you try to win the game. We're going to give away a trip to people to do this. We're going to have, one lucky person is going to be able to run through that warehouse for 60 seconds, grab whatever they can get into their cart, and then that's theirs to take home. And James was our test pilot.
I was. And I, instead of grabbing hams and everything else, I was grabbing Vokies and Epics and golf balls and Foot Joys and everything else in between. But you forgot one important part, Dean. Two people are going to go to Budget Golf.
Ooh.
One person is going to win the ultimate prize and the ultimate run. So there's going to be another competition laying in there. That bomb was dropped just earlier. So it's another layer to the competition. And I'm telling you, I made it in three rows. I made it up and down three rows in 60 seconds. And it's going to be interesting to see people's game plans. We got to do our Facebook Live thing mm-hmm. out there in Chicago the night before and to ask everybody what they would do. And I had that in my mind whenever I did the run, but it all kind of goes out the window. And by kind of, I mean it absolutely goes out the window because you're going to see literally, tens of thousands of boxes. And there's multi sides to it. The entire other side is all apparel and rangefinders and everything else. And then the other one is clubs and balls. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And the coolest thing is they are just as excited as all of the people that are going to try to win this thing are. I mean, genuinely, they are normal, average people that just love golf and the excitement that's going to come with all this. So they've jumped in head first, and that's really, really neat.
Yeah, it is really neat, and it is the ultimate, you know, kid in a candy store. You know, you've got the keys, you can run all over the place. You know, James, I did watch your video, and you know, I watched Facebook. I watched Facebook Live. You know, the first Facebook Live for THP that, you know, was in Chicago, and like you said, you're listening to everybody who's there in attendance talk about what their game plan was. And you went from guys saying, I'm just going to run as fast as I can and just kind of grab and throw. And then you had guys that wanted to, look, I'm searching for one item. And then once I get that one item, I'm good. I'm just going to try to get as much after that. And like you said, once it starts going, you know, 60 seconds goes pretty fast. And I can only imagine in your mind as you're trying to be like, oh, look, golf shoes. Oh, look, wedges. Hey, there's a driver. There's that driver. There's this fairway wood. You know, 60 seconds goes even faster when you're seeing all of that. It's like, you know, seeing all the different bright lights and having really bad ADD. Oh, look at that.
Oh, yeah. No. And I'll tell you the truth. I think it's going to be kind of the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Because, for example, at the very end of it, I had another iron set that fell out of the basket. That wouldn't have counted. So, I mean, it's a shopping cart. It's an average size shopping cart. Don't ask how they got it, but they have it. And that's what it is. And you're going to run around. And when you try to grab stuff, some stuff comes out of boxes easily. Some doesn't. So you're going to have to make that decision. I don't know. The strategy thing is going to be interesting. And it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun to watch because having gone through it once now, you can't plan for something like that. I don't care what people think. It's going to be interesting. It's all I can say.
Yeah, I really can't wait for this to happen and just watch it unfold. But let's keep on going. So now we were talking about golf equipment that we could fit into a shopping cart. Now let's talk about one of the, you know, big pieces of equipment that makes its way into your bag. And I'm talking about a golf ball. You know, you hear guys, Tiger Woods, for example, he decided to play Bridgestone ball. And when it came out with playing the Bridgestone ball, he said, look, it's the most important piece of equipment that could be in the bag. Once I have the ball, everything else can get fit. So how do you do it, James? How do you pick a golf ball that gets into your golf bag? I mean, there are so many options out there for 2017.
Well, I mean, first, Tiger actually copied me because I play the B330S. If he was actually playing golf, I would take some credit for that. But since he's not actually golfing anymore, that makes that a little bit more of an interesting thing. But no, I mean, on a serious note, think about the last, 4 years, how golf balls have changed, right?
Yeah.
Before, for me, I'd like to play a urethane golf ball. Whether it's mental or whatever else, I want the extra spin into the greens that I can get with a urethane cover. And yes, there's more to it than just the cover, but we all know urethane golf balls are going to spin the most.
Correct.
So I look for that first. And 4 years ago, I mean, everything is $45 plus a dozen. There's still a couple out there that are that way, but for the most part, the prices have plummeted. I mean, the Q-Star just dropped out. The Q-Star Tour, that's a urethane golf ball for $25 a dozen, I believe is what it's coming in. Correct me if I'm wrong.
$29, so sub 30.
29.
Under $30 by a penny. But yeah, three-piece golf ball with the Sirlin or the urethane cover, and that's going to be $30. And there are other golf balls out there that have the Sirlin cover that are, you know, in the mid-30s. So like you're talking about the prices, you're being able to find, if you pay attention, some higher quality covers. We'll say it like that. Higher quality covered golf balls or higher quality material golf balls like that for a little bit more budget friendly price if you really pay attention.
Oh yeah, Snell. Snell's the perfect example. We just had an event with Snell, but I mean, I've got a couple of dozen of the My Tour ball here and I've played them and they play as good as anything else that I've ever put in the bag. And it's a high quality ball with a urethane cover at a price that's affordable. And let's be honest, as good as we all like to think we are, we lose golf balls. So that was the big deterrent for a long time, I think, for a lot of people for not putting a urethane ball in the bag, more so than wanting more distance or anything else like that. I think the deterrent was always the price point. So you've got to mention price first. There's more involved to it than that. Like for me, I'd rather not stare at a giant seam. That's part of it. And now we've got tons of options that go with that. I think the graphics on the golf ball do matter. I think some are more classic than others. I actually think TaylorMade with the new TP balls, the TP5s, are actually really good. there's just, it's harder to pick a golf ball right now. I might counter your question with, I think it's harder to pick a golf ball than it was.
I think that's a fair point. There's so many solid options, like you said. And, you know, all things being equal, you know, you should always find the golf ball that works best for you. But like you said, I mean, there's so many options and so many price points. How I would choose my golf ball, because I am not a touring professional, and you know, I'm not a scratch I'm not a scratch golfer. On the internet, yes, but on the radio, no. So I would pick something, because you know, I definitely want the cover that's going to help me spin the ball more. So I'll go with the urethane cover. I want something that I can compress. I think the compression story has been told really, really well. Specifically, from Bridgestone. I'll give them a big kudos to that, because they really pushed ball fitting for quite some time. You know, I've gone through it, and I've gone through it with several other golf balls to compare to try to find out what works best. Something happened at Titleist, though. The conversation I had with Glenn, one of their fitters, was he talked about fitting the golf ball. Was it fitting the golf ball to the wedge to the golf ball to the wedge? So fitting the ball from shorter distance, your approach shots, and then fitting your driver to the ball. So the ball to the wedge and the irons and the driver to the ball. And that made sense, because he said what you want to do is you want to have something that you're going to be able to control into greens, because that's where your scoring is going to come from. So having the golf ball work best for you there, in his opinion, was the way that it should work. And then with the way that driver technology and golf ball technology has been nowadays, any little tinker with a driver, they can make the whatever golf ball you play, they feel they can make a golf ball work for you. So whether it's, if you're playing one of their drivers, we'll say the 917, with the adjustments that are out there, they can make a change in loft, they can make a change with the SureWeight hosel, or SureFit CG, or the SureFit hosel, and they can make whether you're playing the Pro V1 or the Pro VX work best for you. So they want you to see the ball that's going to work best into the green, and then they can make all the adjustments they want on the tee box to make that ball work for you.
That's actually a pretty brilliant way of telling the story. Like that's more clear than I think we've seen Titleist with a golf ball in a while, you know?
Yeah. When he said that to me, I was like, wow, you know what? You're kind of right. Because if people want to, you know, you talk about people adjusting spin and launch and everything on the tee box, with most of the drivers these days, you could do that with a few, you know, clicks of a wrench now. So being able to find the ball that you're going to like, you know, into the green, that you could find one that's going to work for you on the tee because of, you know, the spin properties of pretty much everything out there now.
Yeah, and I mean, you and I see it all the time in our club testing. I mean, the heads that are out there right now, and I'll go drivers and fairway woods, we'll get to there too. Mm-hmm. Are there so many adjustments possible? Weighting, face angle, loft, all of it. Even just multiple options within a line as far as spin profiles, that if you do get a spinnier ball into the greens, that it's, and it does by design, some bleed over into the driver, which not all of them do. We know it has more to do with layers, mm-hmm. fresh and everything that goes with it. But generally speaking, then you can find a way to tone that down for where you need it. I mean, you want less spin off the tee, but you still want all that in the green. I know that, I mean, that's me. That's why I play the V330S, because it spins the best for me into the green.
Yep.
So then from there, you kind of adjust everything else. And that makes a whole lot of sense. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that was something that I was just like, wow, you know, you hear a lot of stuff, and I had someone explain it to me. I was like, wow, you fit people for a living, so you obviously know what you're talking about. And it just made so much sense. It was like the light bulb went on, you know, kind of like when you asked me the question earlier, and I kind of paused because I wasn't sure what was going on. You know, it just kind of clicked. And with so many different golf balls out right now, you know, I've always been a B330RX. Last year, I changed a little bit towards the end of the year to the Chrome Soft, so that's still going to get another shot. I'm looking right now here underneath my desk where all my golf balls are, and I have some Pro V1s, Pro V1Xs, E6 Speeds and Softs, some Chrome Softs, some B330RXs, some 330s. I've got the TaylorMade TP5X and TP5, you know, a good five-layer ball, the only five-layer tour ball there is. You know, there's a lot of options, not to mention, like you said, Snell Encore came out with a tour-level ball. There's just so much out there.
And we will lose them all.
and quickly, at least in my case, very, very, very quickly.
There are. The options are plentiful, and that's why picking a golf ball is more difficult I think, than it used to be. And in a good way, not a bad way.
Yeah.
I will always defend options are good. I know we have some people that hate it when companies release new stuff, but options are good. You don't have to buy it, but to be able to go out and have these different options, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and just to close it up, like you mentioned, you know, earlier in this segment, it seems like the price wars on golf balls have started to come down, which is definitely a good thing for consumers. You know, now there's not that many golf balls that are over $40. You know, I'm thinking off the top of my head, and I can think of the major brands. I can think of two right now that are over $40 if I went to the store right now. So that's a good thing. Everybody else seems to be coming down to that $39 mark. Look, when there's a three as the first number, as long as there's only one number between that and the decimal point, I think we're all winning.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just like you said, you just have to look back a few years, and the difference is staggering. That's a good thing. Competition is good.
Competition's good. And, you know, we hope everyone out there is enjoying what you're hearing so far. Remember, you can subscribe to THP Radio both in iTunes and Google Play. Also, if you haven't heard, we have a new THP mobile app out if you have an iPhone or an iPad or any other iOS device. By downloading this app, you'll have instant access to the THP homepage, where you can read James's reviews, THP TV, where you can watch some of the content that we've talked about in the first half of this episode, and you can listen to us on THP Radio wherever you may go. So make sure you give it a download and drop by the THP forum to let us know your thoughts on the mobile app and everything that you're getting from it. All right, James, this one's it. This is the big heavyweight fight. Maybe not. This is a topic that we've seen gain some traction on the forum, and it started with a thread not too long ago that said, if there were no limits, what could you create? And what we're talking about, let's just say there's no USGA. They're not governing the clubs. You can make whatever you want, and a company does that. Would you play it? And it started with talk of Indie Golf, because they came out with these wedges. I'm holding one in my hand right now called the Stingray. And it looks like a normal wedge, which is nice. It doesn't have like a chipper look or anything really different. The grooves on it are ginormous. That's the technical term. And what they do is, you know, on the back of it, it's stamped for greater than 10,000 RPMs. So what these wedges do is they allow guys like me who don't spin the ball a lot around the greens to actually do that, to spin it and spin it like crazy. Get the hop and stop, get the ball to suck back. And while I don't want to make it just about those wedges, I want it to be more the conversation about non-conforming equipment and would you play it? So that's where we're going to go. Not talking about in competition. Obviously, that's illegal. You're going out for fun. We know you coach high school golf. You're going out with your guys and you're just having fun. They're shooting for scores. You're there to say, hey guys, look how awesome I am. Would you put something that's non-conforming in your bag just to go out and shoot some golf?
In a heartbeat. I wouldn't hesitate, because to me, and this is we've seen on the forums in the last couple of days, this is kind of a touchy subject with some people. So it is the heavyweight subject of the night. But no, I would, because to me, it's all about fun. If you take yourself too seriously and you take golf too seriously, then I'm one that doesn't understand why you're doing it. And that's something I tell my kids all the time. In the end, you've got to remember it's just a game. And what is the purpose of us playing games? It's to have fun.
Yep.
So if you mean you could put a wedge in my hand or whatever that I can hit at pins now and get them to stop and save a couple strokes off my game, maybe. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Because in reality, no matter what's going on, let's use the Indy wedge as an example, you still got to hit the ball. I mean, that's the hardest thing about it. And I mean, I've seen people of all skill levels that still chunk a wedge at the biggest, deepest Grand Canyon like grooves in the world aren't going to help you if you chunk a wedge.
I'm raising my hand.
When you're hitting them okay, though, I mean, to see something stop and grab for someone who's never really been able to do that, that's a big deal. And that's going to make it more fun, especially in a weekend game or just a weekday of somebody getting out after work or whatever else it is.
Yeah. So we went out when we were in California and we got to test them. And I will be in the camp that beforehand I was like, yeah, you know what? I would probably go out and I would use something like this just for fun. If I'm going out golfing with my wife, you know, maybe I would use something like this. Just have some fun, get out there, yuck it up a little bit. But I wasn't really into it. You know what I mean? I would put it in the bag, but I wasn't into it. So I took some practice pitches and chips with a 58-degree wedge, which is, as I get closer to the green, that's probably what I would be more accustomed to using. And like I said, I'm not a guy who spins the ball a lot around the green. A lot of stuff is bump and run for me. But I'm going to pat myself on the back. I turned into a tour player, man. I was doing I was doing that shot. You know, you see all these guys, you see Phil Mickelson on TV hit that low skipper. It bounces once, twice, and then it just stops right at the hole. I was able to do that. That's pretty freaking cool. Me was able to do that. And then I'm able to hit that high shot that hits and spins back. I was able to hit a lot of different shots, 50-yard pitches. I was getting the ball to spin back 7 or 8 feet. That's unbelievable. And what that did to me is it makes me want to learn to hit that shot with my normal wedges. So for me, it's a little bit of motivation, but that made a short game session incredibly fun. I came home and started telling some of the people that I play with, and the questions were, well, did you bring those back with you? I said, well, they'll be here, don't worry. And they want to check it out. There's some interest in that, even though it's non-conforming, because it's something that could make the game fun. And golf is supposed to be fun. There's not a lot of people, you know, regardless of what people think, there's not a lot of people that are out there that keep a real handicap or that play in serious competitions where they need said handicap. There's a lot more weekend warriors out there. This is something for them.
Oh, yeah. And I would make the argument that, in fact, and this is going out there to ruffle some feathers, but I think the USG has made it harder on people to carry handicaps. I think they've caused people to not want to carry handicaps. Apps or play in a lot of that stuff and instead just play the game to enjoy the game. I mean, like reporting, having to have, what you have to have somebody playing with you now in order to report a score towards your handicap.
Yep.
Well, that's impossible for a lot of people. So if that point, if that's the case, then the heck with it. And I think you see that happen a lot more. I think people overthink, to use that word a billion times in one sentence, I know, but I do. I think people, they're overthinking the idea of how many people play in league night, how many people play in tournaments, how many people do all these other things, because there's way more people that just go out and want to have fun. And this is a game that has traditionally not been the most welcoming to people who want to just go out and have fun.
Right.
And if we're trying to grow the game, then why would you not be in support of something like this? And I know it's not everybody's thing. That doesn't mean you have to use it. But I don't understand getting upset by it and getting bothered by it. There's no reason to get hot under the collar about it.
No, and, you know, the USGA, from what I understand, their stance has always been, we want to keep skill in the game. So they limit the club manufacturers on what can be done because they still want, you know, the winner every single week, or whether it's on a PGA Tour or in your Sunday foursome, they want the winner to have the skill to have won. And I can understand that and respect that. You still need skill to hit this kind of thing. You know? I mean, if somebody gives me a driver that's, let's just say they've really, you know, they've gone crazy materials, they've thinned the face, you know, the driver might crack in like three hits, but it's going to guarantee you a 300-yard drive. Who's to say I'm still not going to step up and slice the thing off the planet, or in my case, hook the thing off the planet? There's a good chance that's probably going to happen. There still has to be some skill involved. I mean, these things aren't machines. This isn't like Rodney Dangerfield's putter in Caddyshack. There's still something that you have to do to make that ball go straight or to get some spin on it. Yes, the equipment is going to aid in that. That's obviously the point. And it might aid a little more than normally, but it's still up to the player to make it happen.
Yeah. Having coached golf, it's awful hard to get that club back on the ball square. I mean, you know that, and I know that. We both live that. And so the fact that it's got deeper grooves that are going to spin more, it doesn't automatically mean people are going to be putting the golf ball to a foot on every single shot and having tap-ins on their next putts. That's not what's going on at all. Plus, I'll be honest, I think there's a lot out there that are like, oh, I would never use that. And if they saw it in somebody's bag, they would secretly be going, hey, can I try that?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
You're right.
Yeah.
you're absolutely right. And the thing about, again, to the wedge, it looks like a normal wedge. That's just a point to me that really hits home. You know, it doesn't look like a chipper. It doesn't look like it's, you remember those old alien wedges? You know, it doesn't have the really huge, fat, rounded back. No, it looks like a traditional wedge. And I kind of have been talking about it on the forum and comparing it to the rangefinder, you know, the Slope Edition rangefinder. The Slope Edition rangefinder looks exactly like the non-slope rangefinder, but it does something that would technically make it non-conforming. There's a lot of parallels there, for me at least, that make sense. I carry a slope rangefinder. Do I always use the slope function? No. But, you know, I play on a bunch of up and down courses here in the Northeast, and sometimes it's good to have that slope function. If I'm going to play a course that I'm going to play for a tournament, which it's rare, but it could happen, that I'll go out and I can almost use it like a caddy feature prior to the tournament. Get an idea of what the slope, what the height differences and yardages are going to play like. I see it very similar to some of these other things.
Oh, and I agree. I mean, if you're going to cry foul about one thing, then why aren't you crying foul about the other thing? And I think there's a lot of people that have rangefinders that have that slope feature available. Mm-hmm. Not to say they're using it all the time, but to me, I mean, there's the difference is negligible. I mean, the argument comes in on the same thing. So to look at one thing and automatically brush it off, just because somebody's finally stepping outside of the box and challenging something and doing something different, and just for the sake of fun, and believing in the fact that there are golfers out there who will try something like this because it's fun. I think it's a really cool story. And for me, the wedge thing is just, it makes sense. It makes the most sense to do something like this with.
I think it's going to be fun. So, you know, like I've said, I have them in hand. And once the weather up here cooperates, I mean, this morning it was snowing and now it's raining like crazy and all the snow is gone. You know, once the weather cooperates here within the next week or so, I'm going to get out. We're going to take some videos of the ball reacting to different greens, and we're going to be able to show a difference. And I think people are going to see that it's not something that's, like we've just said, it's not something that's automatic. It's not putting, you know, your short game on autopilot. You're going to have to adjust to it. For somebody who spins the ball like crazy, they're going to have to adjust to spinning the ball even more like crazy. You know, so everybody's going to have an adjustment period if they played something like this, just like something with a driver or a golf ball that goes farther. Or remember the golf balls that would only go straight? You know, they would curve back to going straight. You had to point the arrow. I mean, anything like that, there's always an adjustment going on. And, you know, before we go, when we were out at Cobra, I had a conversation with our good friend Mike Yagley. And the conversation was kind of about this. Look, if there were no limits, what could we do? And we've got it on video. And I think when you hear what his response is, you're going to be like, oh, my God, I never even thought of that. So the thought process that companies don't think that far ahead is crazy. They absolutely know what needs to be made inside the box and what they could possibly do outside the box.
See, that's fantastic. I can't wait to see that. Of course, as long as Yagley's not going to be standing on us this time like he was at the PGA show, then I'm all in.
I did not let him stand on us this time, but I'll tell you, that might have been my favorite segment to shoot at the PGA show. You know, for anybody who didn't see it, please go watch the PGA merchandise show coverage that we did. We know there's one long one out there that's over an hour long, and surprisingly, that's the one that has the most views, which is impressive. So anybody who's been out there watching that, thank you very much. And for Yagley, he was essentially standing on our backs through part of a segment. And, you know what? It was a good demonstration.
Yeah, I still think everybody's watching because they want to see me hit you, but that's besides the point.
Oh, boy. Well, maybe next time when we come on, we can talk a little bit about those Align grips, and I'll come up with some other crazy ideas to see if it'll make you want to reach through the computer screen here and slap me. What do you think?
Absolutely. It sounds good.
All right. Well, that's a wrap. A big thank you to James for co-hosting today. Remember, you can join us both on the THP forum to discuss and debate everything we talked about here. And of course, you can follow along on Twitter @DeanOfTHP and @JMan_THP. Don't forget to head over to iTunes or Google Play, and you could subscribe to The Hacker's Paradise. Or, you know, if you want to make it a little easier on yourself and you have an iPhone, make sure you download that mobile app. That way you'll never miss a new episode of The Golf Industry Uncut, The Dean Has Spoken, or our show On the T-Box. Also, we've just added Golf Unfiltered as well, so that's another episode that you can listen to through the THP mobile app. And while you're at it, take a minute to leave your feedback for all of the shows that we have on the channel now. So for myself and James, we hope you enjoyed this episode, and we look forward to meeting you again on the T-Box.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.